morning. How we all doing? Got anything for me?
Or have you ever been a part of a team that started, you know, month of the season that had no turnovers?
I don't think I could tell you. First of all, I don't know. I think if it's happened like this, I would remember. I've been fortunate to be on teams that, you know, were under 15 in a year. Last year, we were fourth in the league in fewest turnovers. So it's something that, you know, you like to think it's coaching, and we work hard at it. But I think it's the players' attention to detail and taking a lot of pride in taking care of the ball. And, you know, Sam in his history has not thrown a lot of interceptions. You know, Teddy threw 9 last year. So it's something we work real hard on.
Goes into for Sam. Just decision making, or
is it, you know, I think decision making, understanding what the defensive looks are, and you know he's obviously making big plays, so it's a bonus when you're making big plays. But you know, to me, when you're back there and the ball's in your hand, it's a risk reward situation, and sometimes you see these interceptions. Even if it was completed, it'd be a 6-yard gain or an 8-yard gain. It's not worth the chance. You know, there's more risk than there is reward. So I think a big part of it is just making good decisions.
Did you guys try to kind of help simplify the language for him early when he got here, maybe change some things up?
You know, that process started when we got here, and I go way back with it. You know, this system, Rob Chizinski was with me in San Diego, and we always use code names like you do in 2 minute. But when he went to Carolina and they drafted Cam Newton, their big process or purpose was to make it simpler for him, and they use a lot of code names. We use a lot of the same code names they use, and obviously Scott and Chud and I were in Cleveland together. When I first saw it, I said, what have you guys done to this offense that I've been coaching for 25 years? And then we've continued to use code names, and you know, we just it's pretty creative, and some guys are really good at coming up with different names. You want time together, but yeah, we've started using a lot more code names. Oh, no question. If you can go out and call you know, a play, and you call a formation, and you use a one-word name, Warrior, for example, Dodge Warrior, and you've called the protection, and you've called the route for everybody, that makes everything faster. Now, it puts a burden on the players because they have to respond to the code names. You know, that play, Warrior, that play, when we ran it in San Diego, was 572 F9 swing. So it was gone right, 572 H arrow F9 swing. So Warrior is much easier, but the first, the numbering system and calling it, you tell everyone what to do. So there's give and take, and our guys have really handled the names well, and they've taken on themselves to learn them and respond, and we've had very few mental errors with the names.
I assume that that required more studying and learning from the other players on the team that were used to the longer.
Well, right? I mean, you'd like them to know what to do when they start to hear the numbers, because they're the same plays over and over again. But no question, if you're using code names, and then, you know, you're not going to use the same code names every week, or you're playing someone in your division, or you're playing someone. Like when we played Carolina, there's a lot of the same code names, so we had to change some of them because you certainly don't want to tell them what you're doing.
How might Zach Line factor in if you guys happen to be shorthanded at tight end?
Pardon me?
How might Zach Line factor in if you guys happen to be shorthanded at tight end? I mean, is he capable of doing some tight end type things, or do you just kind of say we maybe scale back a little bit?
Well, the great thing, and when we put this together, and we've been working hard on it, you know, when Tony and Pat and Scott, everyone involved, Kevin, we start working on this in February, and one of the things you want to be is you want to be multiple in terms of ability to use your personnel. You want to be able to give defenses problems using your different personnel groups. And then, as is happening right now, if you have guys that are are questionable or you're not sure if they're going to be in there, you can emphasize one personnel group over another. Zach would be an emergency guy.
You kind of figured out the balance you want between McKinnon and Asiata?
To me, it's an ongoing thing. I think they're both really good. There are certain things that we know Jared does better than Matt, and there's some things Matt does better. But I think it's gonna be a week-to-week deal, and I think Jarek is going to be the lead guy, but there's some games that Matt may get more reps than, he does in others.
One of the things Patterson has done in practice this season that sort of helps you guys have more confidence in him?
Well, I think it's we all know that CP has always flashed and always made plays. I think what he's really made a commitment to is being consistent and going out and every day being consistent and consistent with the mental approach, consistent with the performance, consistent with the effort, and I think that has been somewhere not only he's grown, but a number of our guys have a good understanding, and I think they truly understand that if you do that and do it on a consistent basis, there's a trust factor that comes in, and you're going to get opportunities.
Running game is able to get to the edges a little bit more with McKinnon versus maybe even Adrian?
Well, yeah, some of it has to do with who we're playing. And, when we played the Giants a year ago, we got to the edges. And we got to the edges with Adrian and with Jarek. And the one play he broke out to the outside, that was about a 30-yard gain. It was the same play we ran against them out of a different personnel group and different formation. So we want to get to the edges if teams give you those opportunities, and Jarek certainly can. I mean, he's as fast. He is really fast. He's the fastest running back as probably I've been around.
How's Vince Wilfork?
Vince, I couldn't hear exactly the question. He really looks good, and they list him at 325. I don't think he's been 325 since he was in the eighth grade. I mean, he's big in there, and it takes a lot to move him. You're not going to move him. We had obviously when I was in San Diego, we played New England a number of times. I'm very familiar with him. We had a chance to coach him in the Pro Bowl, and he's really. He's a unique person. He's a lot of fun to be around, but he's really playing well in the middle. And he, occupies a lot of space, and you have to work to move him.
Is it more challenging for a bigger guy you can't move, or a quicker guy that's hard to move?
Well, they both present different challenges. Vince does a good job of moving from tackle to tackle, and he makes a lot of plays, and he helps keep those. Backers from getting blocked so they can make plays.
What is the biggest nose tackle you've ever
played against? Well, Vince is up there. Ted Washington, at the end of his career, he was a big man inside too. There, that's the style of defense they want to play, and they want that big nose, whether it be New England or now with what Houston is doing.
What do you think? Take more chances on first down with the deep shots to Charles?
I'm sorry. Wait. I'm sorry.
Were you able to take more chances with Charles, give Sam more of a green light to look for a deep shot on first down?
I don't think so. The first play that we threw, the fade, was really designed to go to the curl, and it's got a built-in deep option if they press it up, and they press Charles, so Sam took it. But it's a play that he probably threw, we threw that ball in training camp and threw the fade. It wasn't Sam. So it's just part of the read of the play, and you like to have some explosive things built in to high percentage plays if you get to look. And we got a great look, and CJ did a great job of blowing by him, and we haven't thrown a lot of deep balls on first, second down, so I'm sure that was part of it too.
Why do you think you had such good success on first down?
like I said, we got some explosive plays, and once you get explosive plays, I think you spread them out a little bit, and you can have some success running the ball.
Last couple for North.
A lot of moving parts, I know, on the offensive line, but through 4 weeks, how are you feeling about that unit, where it's at?
Well, I mean, I'm excited about it, and the biggest thing offensively, and it's kind of, once we start getting guys hurt, it's been a theme. I mean, it's someone's got to step up and play well, and obviously TJ has done that over there. Searles did it at left guard. Searles did it at right tackle, back-to-back weeks. You know, we just were in that mindset where if someone isn't available, whoever goes in for them, I mean, they've got a job to do, and they can't let the other 10 guys down, and that's kind of been our approach.
Good.
All right. Thanks.